Our epistle for the second Sunday after Easter is taken from the first epistle of Blessed Peter the Apostle, chapter 2, verses 21 through 25. Beloved, Christ has suffered for us, leaving you an example that you may follow in his steps, who did no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled did not revile, when he suffered did not threaten, but yielded himself to him who judged him unjustly, who himself bore our sins in his body upon the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live to justice. And by his stripes you were healed. For you were a sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. Continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. John, chapter 10, verses 11 through 16. At that time Jesus said to the Pharisees, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. But the hireling, who is not a shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches and scatters the sheep. But the hireling flees because he is a hireling and has no concern for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know mine, and mine know me, even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for my sheep. And other sheep I have that are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Thus far the words of today's epistle and Holy Gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, last Sunday we talked about faith. Faith is not just knowing, but having. Right? It's a grace that has been given. And with that grace, we don't just believe in God or know our catechism. We live with God. We live our faith. A most unique distinction that we must make. Today, we have Good Shepherd Sunday, and the epistle given to us kind of reminds us of what we need to do. Lots of people, they will talk about their spirituality of what Christ needs to do. No, Christ has done what he needs to do. He has founded a church. He has instituted sacraments. He's come from eternity into time, through time to this time, and has given us the opportunity to be saved. Now it's up to us to do our part. If we want to have part with what he has done. In other words, we must make a choice. St. Peter tells us this. You have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. We must return. We must go to him. We must make him our shepherd. But I think it's important for us to understand for a reason, or for a moment, the reason why Christ referred us to sheep. We do too much following of the wrong thing, of the wrong people, and for the wrong reason. And we must follow for the right reason and the right person. Father Drinkwater put together a few books. One was on sermon notes, and I read this, and I wanted to read it to you because he puts it very simply. He does not want us to behave like sheep every way, to be stupid and thoughtless, to follow the crowd, to get in a panic for nothing, or be helpless when the wolf comes. We are not sheep. We have a mind and a will, and he wants us to use them. He has not much use for people who cannot make up their mind, who want to please everybody. He died for them, as for all, but he can't do much with them. As you've heard me say before, we have a choice to make. Nobody can make the choice for us but us. Christ has done his part. He's made his choice. He wants us to be with him in heaven, more than we want to be in heaven. In today's gospel, we are reminded of that. I lay down my life for my sheep. What more do we want? But just because he laid down his life for a sheep doesn't mean we're saved. Nope. We must make a choice. And in making that choice, it has to be a complete choice. It can't be a choice just in thought. It has to be a choice in deed and in truth, in action. Therefore, we must weed out stuff, get rid of stuff, and pursue him to the little distance that he left for us to pursue him. We have to give up habits of sin, bad companions, worldliness, selfishness, indifference. If we don't give those things up, we can't get close to him. It's impossible. But I go to church every Sunday. Our Lord talks about this, doesn't he? He says it very simply. Not he who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven will enter the kingdom of heaven. The will of God. We have to do our part. He has given us a free will to choose to do his will, not to do our own will. He has given us an intellect, not to choose what we think the truth is, but to choose the truth, period. And to pursue the truth and to know the truth. I just don't know. It's so complicated. No, it's not. I was just helping one of the sisters with their iPhone. Now, that's complicated. Trying to figure out how to do this and set up that and everything else like that. Okay. It's not complicated to be a part with Christ. But the stupidity of human nature is such that we think we can make the rules of how we can be a part with Christ. That's not how it works. And then we throw up our hands like, oh, no, no, is that religion? I just can't. Sit yourself down for a minute. Take out a catechism and read it. It's very simple. Read the Gospels. It's right there. None of us can claim ignorance about not knowing the truth. Invincible ignorance, that is. If we claim ignorance, it's because it's vincible. It's on purpose. Nope. See no evil, hear no evil, say do no good. Right? It's a choice we have to make. We have all these wonderful ideas of who Christ is, and a lot of them are true. But to have part with Christ, we don't think as much as we ought to about that. I know mine, and mine know me. Do you know Christ? All right. That's where we start. How much of your day is with Christ? Do you begin your day with Christ? Do you end your day with Christ? Is Christ a part of your full day? Good question, don't you think? Because when we are with Christ, then that loser, the devil, has nothing on us. It doesn't matter what's happening around us. It doesn't even matter what's happening to us. He has nothing. He'll have his moment, and he'll suffer for that moment. But if we're able to get through those moments, those tests, those temptations, then we have an eternity with our Lord. But we can't be with our Lord in eternity unless we're with our Lord in time. We have to invite him into our day. We have to make him a part of our day. And that starts now, or is perfected now. We make that choice. We say, yes, that's what I want. You know, we end Mass with a prayer, a simple prayer, a prayer that I learned actually from the monastery where Father Michael's from. And it's a dangerous prayer because it means people will leave, but it's also a good prayer because it means, or they will change. And it's, Lord, grant us parishioners, but we don't want just parishioners. We want holy parishioners, and we want many holy parishioners. Holiness comes from one source, and that's Christ. Those that are not of Christ, you're not holy. Those that are of Christ, you are holy. And that decision, that choice is yours. Like we said before at the very beginning, he's made his choice. What is your choice? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Confessions will be heard.